This is Jay Sekulow, a powerful State of the Union message by the President, and he makes it clear, America will never be a socialist nation.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Together, we can break decades of political stalemate. We can bridge old divisions, heal old wounds, build new coalitions, forge new solutions, and unlock the extraordinary promise of America's future.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
As we promised on yesterday's broadcast, we're going to today spend time going through the President's State of the Union message. I thought it was a phenomenal speech, and I'm not the only one saying it. A CBS News poll, this is a CBS News poll, said 76% approved, 24% disapproved. That's a very high approval rating. Now, I thought the President handled, I thought the entire speech was fantastic. I thought the way he handled some of the controversial moments, if you want to call it that, with some of the freshmen, congresswomen, I think that was handled, I thought it was handled appropriately with some humor, which was, I think, appropriate as well. I thought the references to the people in the audience, in the chamber that were watching, especially the Holocaust survivors, the military men that were there, it was just a moving, the whole hour and 24 minutes was very, very well done. I think even the CNNs of the world are saying that. So I think the speech overall was very well received, and obviously the polling data is showing it. But let me tell you something else. The fact that the President of the United States, to that State of the Union message, to the joint session of Congress, had to say these words in 2019 should concern everybody.
Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country.
Can you imagine that was a necessary statement, which it was, Jordan?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you've got now members of Congress elected who avow socialism. Bernie Sanders taking the lead there. He finished second in the Democratic primary to Hillary Clinton. So, I mean, within the Democrat Party, certainly, there is a movement, and you've got younger members of Congress as well. But Bernie Sanders led that charge. I mean, you have to remind people, he finished number two to Hillary Clinton, and she had to battle him ultimately to win the Democrat nomination for president. Fast forward a couple more years, they're going further left, and they're coming right out. They used to be Democrat, you know, they're now calling themselves Democrat Socialists.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw some of the commentary on CNN afterwards. I think Chris Cuomo was doing this, and one of the, you know, panelists said, well, they're not socialists, but Harry, they call themselves socialists.
They absolutely do. And we should always remember the age of social catastrophe, which cost tens of millions of lives in the 20th century. We should be alarmed by socialism, which is now in vogue with globalist elites who wish to subordinate liberty and oppress the working class through coercion and domination. In essence, these socialists want to control every single American's lives, their day-to-day work lives, their health care, you name it. They are into the administrative state and the expansion of the administrative state with full-blooded coercion all the way down.
All right, Andy, your reaction to the, I mean, we're going to get into the next, we're going to do this segment by segment, kind of. We're going to get into the life issue next. We're going to talk about national security. We've got a lot of topics to cover. What was your overall reaction with the speech?
I think it was a grand slam. I think it was an absolutely magnificent speech. You know, sometimes you wonder if these speeches will ever end, but I sat and watched it for an hour and 24 minutes straight, and my attention was kept on every word that the president said. I think that he made the points that had to be made with respect to his administration and the successes that it has had, and I applauded along with him in the things that he said, but especially his assertion that this is not and never will be a socialist country, which Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer applauded, albeit it seemed like they were breaking their hands because they were forced to do it.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. I watched it a second time, actually. I watched the speech and then watched it again for the body language. It was kind of worth it there. We're taking your calls. Your reaction to the speech, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And we're examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, we've got a lot to talk about. We're dealing with the entire State of the Union message in segments. So we just talked about we opened with the whole thing about that the President of the United States felt compelled, which I think was the right thing to do, that America will never be a socialist nation. But the President also took out a very strong statement on the life issue. Let me play for you the President's statement. This is number 62.
There could be no greater contrast to the beautiful image of a mother holding her infant child than the chilling displays our nation saw in recent days. Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and their dreams with the world.
So, you know, there's this President's statement on the life issue. Now, what's interesting is you got all the fact checkers. So I haven't seen any fact checker come back and say that fact was incorrect. Have they done that, Will? We've not seen any. Okay, I just asked our producer. Interesting also, so this just broke this morning. Legislators in Vermont have proposed a bill that would strengthen legalized abortion up till and until the moment of birth. This is one of many new state-level pro-choice initiatives. Vermont is one of eight states that have already has non-gestational limits, which means abortion until delivery. In place, and they include Alaska, Colorado, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, along with the District of Columbia. Now, the ACL, the president addressed that. We just heard what he said. First of all, let me go to CC first. Your reaction to the president's statements generally, then I'm going to get into the specifics of what we've already uncovered about what's going on here.
Yeah, I think his statements were right on to defend and protect life, especially when he went on to say that it's, you know, reaffirm a fundamental truth that all children born and unborn are made in the holy image of God. And that's what we're missing, that personhood of unborn children. So I think his statement was very solid.
So we know also, by the way, there's going to be an order probably tomorrow from the Supreme Court of the United States on a case out of Louisiana that involves the abortion issue. And we talked about the personhood issue, which is what the president, when he says born and unborn, let's go ahead and play that line. Again, I think it's important. We have that one separated. We do. Let's do it.
And let us reaffirm a fundamental truth. All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God.
All children, born and unborn. Now, that goes to what we're talking about, Abby, when we talk about the personhood of the unborn child.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's specifically what Democrats want to ignore in pushing this new legislation that would allow abortion up until or at the moment of birth without limits.
Yeah, and this is, it's called non-gestational limits. So now, Fan, let's sort of recap for everybody. There was a bill in the Senate that was called for unanimous consent. It failed. Let's talk about that just for a moment, then I want to take a phone call.
Yeah, sure. That bill was the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection. They would just say if a baby survives abortion and it's alive on the table, it is entitled to the legal rights and care that any other human being would get. There was an objection to that. There was not unanimous consent in the Senate. And Jay, I would just add on to that what the president called for last night, the pain-capable abortion ban that's sponsored by Senator Lindsey Graham. Jay, that would get the United States out of a company of seven nations in the world that don't have a gestational limit. He's absolutely right. Both of those bills should move through the Congress.
All right, well, let's go. We got calls coming in on all this. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Eric in New Mexico on line 3. Eric, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a question. What can be done on a federal level that can eliminate the infanticide at the state level?
Well, I think, look, I mean, if you take the personhood approach to this issue, which we do, that this is a person entitled to protections under the Constitution, if you establish the personhood of the unborn child, then I think you get all the constitutional protections, and that would mean you don't get to take life without due process. I mean, there's all of the constitutional protections would come in place.
That's right. And that's the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act actually does that. And that's what President Trump was calling for last night, was for Congress to enact that legislation that protects unborn children at the point where they can feel pain.
All right. So it's also important to understand that while the president's talking about this and there's initiatives on the federal level, that we are also taking direct action to find out what's going on here. And Abby, let's share a little bit about that. We've got a team of lawyers. I actually asked this morning before our briefing. We've got 6 lawyers right now working on various Freedom of Information Act requests. And all these states that are identified, we're going to go to them and find out who was it behind these bills. Let's talk about what we're doing there.
We are looking for information, demanding information on who is behind these bills, who is sponsoring and pushing. What's the collaboration taking place between pro-choice organizations, abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood, these abortion giants, and the legislators?
Yep.
And what kind of communications are taking place before this legislation is pushed through?
We got a little hint.
Yeah, we sure do.
What a shock. National Abortion, they should be called National Abortion Rights Action League. They're still NARAL. What did we find, Cece?
Just like we found in our case in New York previously, where NARAL had launched a campaign on how to shut down crisis pregnancy centers. They launched a campaign January last month. It's a 50-state campaign expanding abortion rights, and they are focusing on states with Democratic gains. And they listed out, and of course, New York was one of them. They specifically say that Governor Cuomo has reaffirmed his commitment to codify Roe and sign the Reproductive Health Act. And that's interesting because Governor Cuomo, in his response last night, said his religion cannot demand favoritism as he executes his public duties. However, his religion maybe can't demand favoritism, but NARAL apparently can.
Yeah, apparently. And New York's kind of the leader in the charge on this, Jordan, as we see it. But now, I want you to understand, at the ACLJ, we're going to attack this. Look, effectively in Virginia, we won. How do we win? We brought so much attention to it. And my goodness, look, I don't even want to get into what's going on in Virginia right now because, folks, you cannot even believe what's going on. We lived in Virginia for a long time. Cece, you lived in Virginia. Yep. There's a lot of us here have Virginian roots. And I'm going to tell you something. What's going on politically in Virginia right now, I mean, the latest now with the attorney general?
Yeah. So 3 down there now would probably be disqualified, including the current governor. Or it would not be chosen by a party. Let's say if this information was out, you wouldn't go through a primary, you'd probably quit your campaign because it would be so embarrassing. So now the attorney general has admitted he was in blackface in 1980s. 19-year-old says he was attending some party.
I was working for the office of the chief counsel of the internal revenue. Yeah, so I don't know what these people were doing.
Yeah, I mean, so he was in college, but again, he tried to use the excuse of they were going it same as Ralph Northam did, they were going as a rap group. I mean, 1980, there weren't that many rap groups. I don't think this 19-year-old in blackface would probably know about.
All right, let's take a call here.
Yeah, let's go to Brenda in New Hampshire on line 6. Brenda, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi, thank you so much, Jay, for taking my phone call. We listen to you religiously every day.
Great,
we have to stop everything. But what is very grievous to my heart as a mother, a grandmother, and a Christian, to be able to pass these laws totally ignoring the fact that Nazi Germany did the same thing, you know, just killing babies that are viable at 6 months. And to give
6 months. I mean, understand this isn't viability. At, like, while the child's being delivered. I mean, let's be clear on what is not prohibited here.
Yes.
I mean, let's go the other way. We know it's what is not prohibited. Could the I'll lead the questions. You all answer. Could a abortionist have the baby through the birth canal and perform the abortion?
Yes. Absolutely.
If the head of the baby is outside of the birth canal, is there any prohibition at that point?
Well, in New York. They did have a prohibition that once if an abortion went wrong and the baby was born alive, there were protections. They removed those. So it's very questionable. It's very questionable.
What do you think, Abby?
Well, and what they've also done is remove the civil and criminal penalties. And we talked about this. So there's no punishment. Even if the baby's delivered entirely out of the birth canal and they decide to kill that baby, there's no recourse for that baby.
So you're the prosecutor here. Yeah. I mean, the fact is, if there's no civil liability and there's no criminal liability and they do it, and that's what people say, well, that's a horrible thing you did, what's the recourse? What's the penalty?
Well, the prosecutor has no recourse. I mean, if I were a prosecutor, I would not, ordinarily, outside of the bounds of the New York statute, I would consider that a killing with intent, willful and malicious, and that equates to murder. And that's exactly what it is. But now New York has taken away the civil wrongful death penalties and the criminal penalties, murder. And therefore, it is not within the discretion of a prosecutor to pursue a crime like that.
What do you think is going to happen in Washington now? The president's called for action on legislation.
The American people need to rise up and insist on it, because on this question you're asking CC and Abby, Jay, the United States Senate just declined to take all ambiguity away. They could have come down and said it's a crime, it's a baby borderline, there are rights attached. They declined to do so. Jay, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, the voters are not for this act. They need to rise up and insist that these protections are put into law.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Your thoughts on the State of the Union. So many issues were covered last night by the president, obviously, and we're going to discuss all of those, go through the military side, the economics, obviously, very positive. And you saw applause there, bipartisan applause on a number of points as well, when they just could not sit down. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110, taking calls throughout the broadcast day. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back. We're breaking this discussion down by segments. We opened by talking about the issue, which I was a galvanizing issue, that when the president had to address this, America will never be a socialist country. You, who would thought you have to say that, but you got people running on the socialist platform, so, and they got elected, and they're kind of the stars of the party right now. In fact, the number two in the Democratic nomination behind Hillary Clinton was Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders ran as a socialist. So they're not denying that's what they are. It's just this is the world we live in right now. Then we've been talking a little bit about the life issue. I want to get into this a little bit deeper. There was a Democratic response, Abby, to this, and you could talk about that. Then I'm going to play it, but go ahead and talk about we set the stage as to what Vermont and a number of states are considering. The president talked about some of this. We'll play some of those other bites as well, but go ahead.
Okay, so the Democratic response last night is, and this is a quote, "It is immoral to allow politicians to harm women and families in advance of a political agenda." So now we are apparently referring to the saving of unborn children to a political agenda. What I find so ironic about this is the false narrative that is circulating by Democrats is that we are just trying to protect women and families. What the legislation Democrats are pushing does, it does just the opposite. It not only takes away the protection to the women who are obtaining the abortion, it never protects the life of the unborn child. The family. That's the family unit.
Right. So here is what Stacey Abrams also said, number 101.
America achieved a measure of reproductive justice in Roe v. Wade, but we must never forget it is immoral to allow politicians to harm women and families to advance a political agenda.
Is it immoral for the country to say we're going to protect the unborn child, though? She completely ignores that. They ignore medical science.
Absolutely. And they do that. We talk about it, the abortion distortion. They have to distort the facts to win this argument. Just like Abby said, when they talk about the health of the woman, that is ridiculous. Because in New York, they removed hospital requirements, physician requirements, ensuring health and safety of the mother. They remove all of that. So they don't care about the health and safety of the mother. All they care about is being able to kill a baby up until the time that that baby is born.
All right, I'm telling you what we're going to do. Let's take call number six.
All right, Raj in Virginia, online six. Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Raj.
We thank the Lord. We have a president who's clearly identified many of these issues. And Jay, you and the whole team have really done a fantastic job in bringing all these issues to focus now. But we are faced with people like Patty, political stunt, Murray. We're faced with these who are pulling it over the people, and that is why for the person, each individual to get involved, the parent-teacher associations, the school boards, our local elections, every single person in the House of Delegates in Virginia who has spoken about these things needs to be primaried or removed even now.
You know, you're writing a book about this, Jordan, actually.
People have got to get involved. And this is the issue, is that you've got, again, you look at these state delegates, there's nothing unique. You don't have to be someone who's got lots of money. You don't have to have major business connections to run at the state house level or to run even at the state senate level or however your delegate, whatever the terminology is used. But even more local races, school boards, city councils, all of those are impacting here. And you look at this issue, they're being lobbied by an abortion industry. Some are educated on the issue. Most are party line. So most of the Democrats are going to go pro-abortion. And we saw that one of the co-sponsors in Virginia, who labels herself as pro-abortion, the delegate, said she pulled her co-sponsorship of it when she figured out that it removed all restrictions on abortion.
Which is exactly what it does now. We just learned this. Vermont legislature has a public hearing tonight, February 6th, 2019, between 4:30 and 6:30. Now, I don't know if that means we can get in written submissions or not.
No, it's like you have to be in line.
Witnesses look like they have to get in line. We'll find out who we have in... Well, then we will get a written, the American Center for Law and Justice will have prepared to be delivered tonight to in Vermont a written statement as part of the record. And I'm making that decision as we're on air live, but that's exactly and precisely what we're going to do. Go ahead. You were going to say something, Cece?
Well, it's just, you know, talking about party lines, NARAL's whole campaign says they were focusing on states with Democratic gains. So we see that when people say, what can we do? Because we have that question a lot. It is to vote and be involved and engaged in the election process because it matters.
Let me go on the federal level for a moment, Than. What do you see on the life issue? I mean, getting anything through the House, I think you should have the votes even if it doesn't carry. What is likely to be at least voted on?
Well, you should have the votes, yeah, even if it doesn't carry. But, Jay, in the House of Representatives, you're not going to have anything voted on unless the groundswell within the Democrat caucus rises up. And here's what I would say. Steve Scalise has put forward a discharge petition on that Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Jay, Nancy Pelosi does not have to schedule a vote on that in order for one to occur if 218 members of Congress sign that piece of legislation. So what I would say is people need to not ignore their legislators, even if they're pro-choice, pro-abortion, Democrat, whatever you want to say. Jay, if they would put their name on this discharge petition as a means of saying, I do not support this radical position, I think a baby borderline deserves protection. Jay, if it can get to 218 signatures, Nancy Pelosi wouldn't have any choice. She would have to vote on the legislation. But I'll tell you this, that's the only way there's going to be a vote in the House of Representatives, because Speaker Pelosi is not going to voluntarily put one up.
Yep. All right, let's go right back to the phones. Laura in California, online 3. Laura, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Laura. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. I thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I really enjoyed the speech last night that Trump gave. I think he was totally on point on every issue. I think he could have gone a little bit harder on a couple, but, you know, but overall, I believe he did a great job. My second comment is about the abortion issue in New York, Virginia. I'm appalled. I am sickened by this. I mean, I can't even believe somebody would even think of making this a law. You know,
Laura, what I think happens. They write it on a piece of paper. And because NARAL or Planned Parenthood's telling them to say, and then they have to articulate it. And then when they go to articulate it, they cannot believe what's coming out of their own mouths. That's what I think, CC.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then
that's the problem.
You do. And you have Governor Cuomo then saying, oh, well, Trump misstated. You know, there are restrictions. But it's smoke and mirrors. Cuomo's the one that misstated. When you have a health exception, we know, we've seen this in action.
It doesn't mean anything.
Once you say health exception, that means any abortion, anytime, for any reason.
Here's some interesting statistics. Cuomo states this morning, it's a rare occasion when a woman has an abortion to protect her health or life. And he's speaking to the concern that limits are being removed, that a woman can just have an abortion on demand, even up until the time of birth. In 2016, over 87,000 abortions took place. In New York City, 1 in 3 babies were aborted. That is far from a rare occasion in which a woman is...
Say that number again.
1 in 3 babies aborted in New York City.
I mean, that is not
a rare occasion.
All right, so what are we doing at the ACLJ? Well, we're getting comments ready for tonight for Vermont. We're watching what the Supreme Court's going to issue in order tomorrow. We beat back on the Virginia. Jordan, I think we won that politically. Is that a political win?
I don't think that's going to be moving through Virginia anytime soon.
Right? Is anything going to be moving through Virginia anytime
soon? Probably not.
Yeah. All right. We've got another 30 minutes of the broadcast. We're going to get into some of the national security issues and others when we come back from the break. So stay tuned. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, go over to ACLJ.org. Streaming it there, audio and video. Of course, Facebook and Periscope, number of stations and networks as well. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ, as even tonight, comments will be filed in Vermont on the life issue. ACLJ.org for that. Back with more in a moment.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Don't give up. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We meet tonight at a moment of unlimited potential. As we begin a new Congress, I stand here ready to work with you to achieve historic breakthroughs for all Americans. Millions of our fellow citizens are watching us now, gathered in this great chamber, hoping that we will govern not as two parties, but as one nation.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I started the broadcast by playing this bite about socialism. I want to start it again for the second half hour because you need to get an understanding of exactly what the president was addressing here and why.
Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country.
So there you have it. I mean, how much stronger can you be? Now, the question you got to ask yourself, Wes, Colonel Smith, is in the military, you were defending the United States of America, a constitutional republic. Did you ever think you'd have a president of the United States that would need to address that? It needed to happen.
Yeah, I was glad he said it, but it was really quite shocking that he had to say that in the United States of America. Socialism has been an abject failure politically, morally, financially, every way, all across the globe. I'm glad he said it, but in America, does a president really have to say that? Unfortunately, in the present political climate, with some of the rising stars of the Democratic Party aligning with Bernie Sanders and others, he absolutely needed to say that.
All right. Harry, you hit it pretty well, I think, in the beginning of the broadcast, this whole idea of the socialism issue coming up. But there is a clear move, I think, within the Democratic Party. I'm not saying it's a majority, but there is a clear move, a wing of that party that is getting militant about this.
Absolutely. So if you look at world history in the 20th century, we had numerous social catastrophes, generally led by socialist governments. Increasingly, we find that there's a social disaster or catastrophe going on today in Latin America. And so I think the evidence on the ground is that the road to prominence in the Democratic Party runs through Venezuela. In other words, many global elites within the Democratic Party are looking to coercion, control, and domination, and they are oblivious to the level of chaos that has disrupted the lives of working class men and women in Latin America. So they want to bring this lack of success, apparently, to the United States. And it's, in some respects, terrifying given human history.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call right off the top here.
Yeah, let's go to William calling from Georgia online, too. William, thanks for holding on. You're on
the air.
Go
ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, Jordan, AJ. First of all, I want to say that President Trump did an excellent job on the State of the Union address. And I like the fact that he actually dropped the bombshell on the left as far as their agenda, as far as abortion, and even with the border wall, you know, talking about how you know, the wealthy has border or has the walls around their own house, but they can't even keep our own borders safe.
You like that?
That's part of what I like, but I also like the fact about, the, you know, the abortion deal and about how he called them out and called New York out on that.
He sure did. Andy, what's your overall assessment of the speech? If you looked at the totality, everything, not just the abortion.
Jay, I think it was an outstanding speech. I think he hit a grand slam, as I've said before, because I think he talked about all the accomplishments of his administration in the 2 years that he's been president. Remember, he's only been president for 2 years.
Right.
And the accomplishments in terms of the economy, in terms of employment and so forth are extraordinary. And he did talk about the border, and the things that he said with respect to the need to protect the southern border are accurate and true and are all fact-checkable and found out to be accurate and true. But I agree with you. The fact that the president in the year 2019 has to say this is not a socialist country, and then a large segment of the audience does not applaud that, is sickening to me.
Yep.
Well, it's a new era. It's the Bernie Sanders era. We'll see if that holds in the 2020 primary. Will someone like that actually prevail, who shares views like that, or will there be another? Will it still be someone more in line of the Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, which is still very liberal, but would not embrace socialism specifically? At least they do like big government, though. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now, other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledged to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me go to Than Bennett first on this. Give me the overall kind of response. You know, we saw the Stacey Abrams response, but what are you hearing in Washington this morning, this afternoon?
Well, I think when you... Yeah, I think when you look at those overall poll numbers, some of the feeling, Jay, is that if there's not some cooperation from the Democrat side of the aisle, if there's not some work from them and the president, there might be a political price to pay for Democrat officials and their base, especially when it comes to some of these items. You know, the president reaching out on criminal justice reform and infrastructure, other items that Democrats should be wanting to work on. Jay, I think one of the things to watch for is if there's a political price, if there is no cooperation from the Democrat side of the aisle. Look, I've been in this town a long time. It's unlikely for the leaders to move without their voters insisting that they move. That's what it's going to take.
There is a discussion this morning and this afternoon, though, that there is, in fact, serious negotiations going on right now regarding border security and immigration reform. Those discussions are serious and they are going on right now.
Yep. I believe that there is going to be a product that comes out of that conference committee, Jay. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like. Ultimately, you've got to have a product that can clear both the House and the Senate. But really, for the first time over the last 24 hours, I've become convinced that they're actually going to produce a product and be able to get it out of a conference committee. Again, we don't know what's in it, but I would have told you 3 days ago I wasn't even sure if they would be able to do that. I think at least at this moment, I would lean towards them putting a product out and both chambers having to vote on it.
All right. So we also know that the president said he is going to meet with Kim Jong-un. Here's what he said.
Much work remains to be done, but my relationship with Kim Jong-un is a good one. Chairman Kim and I will meet again on February 27th and 28th in Vietnam.
All right, so Wes, from your perspective, looking at it from a national security perspective, what's your sense of that?
Well, you know, the president has made incredible strides in our relationship with North Korea. Certainly it's not the panacea that you know, we would like for it to be, perhaps. But in the last 2 years, or almost 2 years since the president met with him, there have been no nuclear tests in North Korea. There have been no ballistic missiles fired over the Sea of Japan. I think it is significant that they're meeting in Vietnam. I think that
what's the significance of the Vietnam meeting? I thought that was a very interesting pick.
Very interesting pick. I think the president is sending a message to Kim Jong-un and North Korea that Vietnam, who is our former enemy, I mean, 58,000 Americans lost their lives in Vietnam, that they now are an ally. They are a trading partner. They are beginning to really develop as a country financially and in every other way. I think there's a message there that this is a possibility for Kim Jong-un as well, that if you will work with the rest of the nations, if you will work with the United States, there is a bright future that is possible for North Korea. I think it's a way of sort of reassuring Kim Jong-un that America, I mean, look at our relationship with Japan.
Same thing.
Same thing. We have this wonderful ability.
Mortal enemies.
Yeah, we have.
We dropped nuclear bombs.
Right.
Had to.
We had this wonderful ability as Americans to take people that are former enemies and adversaries, rebuild their countries, and make them allies. And I think choosing Vietnam.
Do you think North Korea, we're on that path with North Korea right now?
I think
at least the pathway is open?
Yeah, I think that's the pathway the president would like.
What do you think about that, Harry?
Well, I think Wes is absolutely correct. I think the question becomes whether or not the North Korean leadership will actually grapple with and grasp this particular opportunity. They could have a bright future going forward. They could be, for instance, the next Vietnam or Indonesia. Or they could remain essentially in darkness. So if you look at a map of the Korean Peninsula, there's a stark difference between South Korea and North Korea, represented by lights at nighttime.
Yep.
That represents economic activity, and it provides wealth for leaders in South Korea. So the leadership in North Korea could actually advance its own interests by opening its country to the West. And so the real question is, will the dear leader accept this opportunity going forward?
I'm going to ask Jordan and Andy the same thing. I'm going to ask them, because I think this is it was a short part of the speech, but I think it was very significant.
It's significant, but you have to be very cautious dealing with North Korea. Obviously, we've had the meetings. That's really the only concession that's been made so far. North Korea is just sitting down. So instead of, in the past, what we've seen is the U.S. removing sanctions, but our leaders not speaking. So this has kind of flipped that on its head, like much of the Trump foreign policy. Let's speak first, and then we can maybe get to actual concessions. So North Korea has not gotten any relief. And at the time we're doing this, remember, their greatest, who props them up, we're taking down right now in a trade war, China, which, you know, their economy. And again, the U.S. doesn't want to continue to be in trade wars long term. But we're also not. It shows the power of the United States that China is still willing to broker this when we've put tariffs on so many of their goods. But the president talked about how much money that is given to the United States Treasury, and again, I think that is key. And I think we have that bite actually about the Treasury. We can play that for people in a moment.
Yep. All right. Here we go.
We recently imposed tariffs on $250 billion of Chinese goods, and now our Treasury is receiving billions and billions of dollars. But I don't blame China for taking advantage of us. I blame our leaders and representatives for allowing this travesty to happen.
What do you think, Andy?
I mean, the president is absolutely correct. I mean, the attitudes and the approaches that the United States has taken prior to with respect to China have resulted in this terrible situation, and the president is moving to cure it. And I think his statement with respect to North Korea is very important. He has traveled there before. He has gone to the Far East before and met with the leader of the North Koreans. He is doing that again. This is the Trump negotiating style: talk and then deal. But why, how you can condemn a president
I don't get
who
that either.
Goes to talk to somebody, to bring him to the table, to bring him to his senses, to see, as Harry pointed out, I've seen a map of the Korean Peninsula at night.
We haven't. We should put it up right here, right now, for our TV audience.
I mean, you got to see this. Look at the bottom of it. It's absolutely lit up, South Korea. And then the top of it is just absolutely in darkness. What does that tell you with respect to these two economies and these two countries? What is wrong with the president extending his hand to the leader of the North Koreans and trying to work things out? I don't understand how you can oppose that.
So the reaction in Washington on that statement, they just don't want the president to have his success, even though they acknowledge that meeting with Kim Jong-un is a good thing.
Well, I think they're used to presidents not being willing to take the political risk. Look, I think with respect to both of the countries, Jay, you've just got to have the courage to try. It's too important not to. And the only way possible for both North Korea and China is for both of them to realize that there is a bright future and a positive outcome that is possible. Jay, I don't think most presidents would have been willing to take that political risk, though. This president has said, with respect to North Korea, look, it may not work out. I know there's risk, but it's too important to not give it a try. And I think most in this town actually respect that. Many of them might be afraid to say it.
Here's what the president said, number 71.
As part of a bold new diplomacy, we continue our historic push for peace on the Korean Peninsula. Our hostages have come home. Nuclear testing has stopped, and there has not been a missile launch in more than 15 months. If I had not been elected President of the United States, we would right now, in my opinion, be in a major war with North Korea.
There was a that was a strong statement of a fact is we our policy in North Korea had been a disaster.
It had been a disaster. I don't know that I would have said that we would be at war presently. I mean, that could have been a possibility, but our relationship with North Korea has categorically changed, and Kim Jong-un has not trusted the West. I think there's the beginning, especially with the influence of China, that maybe they can somewhat trust the West. In the meantime, the president has really stuck to his guns and not granted any sanction relief. He has told Kim Jong-un from the get-go, no sanctions until you denuclearize, and yet Kim Jong-un is still willing to talk. That's
Harry,
a good
the
sign.
The economic road that the president, I think the approach he's taken, I think West's analysis was exactly correct. The economics do tend to drive policy, even for South Korea.
They do, but it's important to note that President Trump, unlike past presidents,
Republican and Democrat,
has not taken the pressure off the North Korean regime. In other words, he has not removed any sanctions. He has provided a pathway forward for the North Koreans, but he's told them until they denuclearize, they will continue to face ongoing sanctions. And I think America's presidents, by both Republican and Democrat, have too often become essentially an open door. They've allowed the North Koreans and others to walk all over America's interests. There's a new sheriff in town, and I think he demonstrated that last night.
In our final segment of the broadcast, we'll take all your phone calls. Whatever aspect of the State of the Union you want to highlight, you can highlight this final segment of the broadcast. So we've been talking about foreign policy. We talked about the life issue. There's economic issues. There's infrastructure issues. There's basically everything we've talked about this week was in this speech to Congress. Very well received by the American people with the CBS poll. Again, underscore the CBS poll. Where 76% of people approved of what the president said last night. 1-800-684-3110. We got a couple lines open as we've been taking calls throughout the show. So 1-800-684-3110. What stood out to you last night from the president's State of the Union address? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. It even removes legal protections for babies born alive from botched abortions. Now other states are trying to do the same thing. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've assembled our team to fight back. We're preparing to send Freedom of Information Act letters in an effort to expose exactly how involved Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry were in pushing this new law forward. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. We're mobilizing to ensure that these laws cannot be used to target pro-life doctors and nurses and force them to perform abortions. And for examining other legal angles as other states look to pass similar laws. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. In the order you've called and people have been holding, let's start with Pat in New Mexico.
Yeah, Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, thank you, guys. The most moving part for me last night was the living history lesson with the World War II vet and the Dachau survivor, because there just seems like there's such a disconnect, you know, between that period of time and today, you know, and to honor that.
I thought it was great. Actually, we have it, and it's a moving bit of video and audio. Take a listen.
A second Holocaust survivor who is here tonight, Joshua Kaufman, was a prisoner at Dachau. He remembers watching through a hole in the wall of a cattle car as American soldiers rolled in with tanks. To me, Joshua recalls, the American soldiers were proof that God exists. And they came down from the sky. They came down from heaven.
I thought that was an it's a very moving moment. I have an uncle that liberated one of the concentration camps. So I know what a significance that is. And it's just unbelievably moving. Great. That's why I think the speech was just really well-tailored. And I think the history lesson was important. Let's go take another call.
Yeah, Harley in Washington State, online 3. Harley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Harley.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I thought his speech overall was perfect. Everything was perfect. I loved his guests. I loved everything. I was disappointed in the two Trumps wearing, or girlfriend and his daughter Tiffany wearing white. That kind of threw me a bit. But
well, it did only throw you a bit because the freshman Democrats wore white also, though. I mean, let's be realistic. This was their, it was like a silent kind of protest. It's a free country. They can do it. I don't want to get into what people were wearing, but they were trying to make a statement. I thought the president actually was pretty effective on that.
It's the suffrage movement for white. I'm not sure that the family members had anything to do with that. And because, again, it's the difference between being on the House floor, being in the gallery,
what
and an active
participant. What do you think, a fan of the decorum overall? I mean, I was actually more respectful than I thought it was going to be.
Same here, Jay. They were almost all on their feet. Most of them were applauding when he came in. And I will tell you this, both the women that were wearing white and the president, Jay, I thought the president did a great job engaging them and actually getting them behind many of the points that he made. So look, I don't think they wanted to be on their feet in many occasions. I think they wanted to be seen as opposing the president. I thought he did a good job engaging with them and communicating that he wants to work with them as well.
All right, very good. Let's go ahead and go right back to the phones here.
Yeah, Yolanda calling from Kansas Online 1. Yolanda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. I just want to say that I'm so thankful that the president said that the United States is not going to be a socialist. I'm a U.S. citizen, but my family lives in Venezuela.
Mm.
And my family, they are starving. And my family, they're having a hard time. And right now, they're fighting for freedom. People don't understand what a socialist is. I know because I talk to my family every day, and every day they're asking for freedom, and I'm so thankful that we have a president who cares for Venezuela.
Let me tell you, let's play what he said.
We stand with the Venezuelan people in their noble quest for freedom, and we condemn the brutality of the Maduro regime, whose socialist policies have turned that nation from being the wealthiest in South America into a state of abject poverty and despair.
In that part of the world, and the people are suffering. You know, it speaks to the naivete and the arrogance of some of the members of the Democrat Party who are trying to laud socialism. You know, think about this, Jay. In our Constitution, individual liberty is guaranteed. It's in the Constitution. And yet socialism actually is against that. It speaks of the power and the authority of the government over individuals and over individual liberty. God bless that woman and her phone calls.
It was a great phone call. I appreciate you calling in. I mean, Than, that's one of the things I think I go back to and go to Than and Jordan this. I mean, if you look at the political tone that was struck here, I think the president hit the key issues and hit it directly on. I mean, he held nothing back.
I especially think that's true on foreign policy, Jay. I mean, he spent 20 minutes on it, and Yolanda's call illustrates this. I mean, the value of American strength in the world is just so very real. It was true with the Holocaust survivor moment as well. But look, the United States' support for Guaido and the now legitimate government of Venezuela, Jay, that's the biggest reason that it has garnered traction and that it hasn't just been suppressed. It's because the United States and the president of the United States stood behind it. We do ourselves a great disservice if we minimize the value of American strength all around the world.
No, I think that's exactly right. All right, back to the phones. We're going to try to get as many of these calls as we
can. Jan's in Georgia online, too. Jan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. Something that has confused my husband and I, and he spoke about this last night. He said that in 2013, the Democrats all voted for the wall, for 300 and something miles of the wall, and now all of a sudden they won't even talk about it. What happened to that money? Was it in an actual bill that got passed and signed into law? And if so, where did it go?
Well, go ahead, Harry. I mean, you're asking the question that is on everybody's mind. Is the fact is we know that these are not significant dollars in our overall budget, that this is pure politics, Harry?
It's pure politics all the way down. It's important to note that the 2013 legislation that the president referenced in his speech last night was sponsored or co-sponsored by Senator Chuck Schumer. And it's also important to note that a majority, if not virtually all Democrats in Congress in 2013 supported a permanent barrier on the southern border. It's also important to note that there is a permanent barrier in San Diego and in El Paso. And the number of illegals crossing in those particular areas has dropped approximately to 4 or 5%. So in other words, it's down by 95%. So walls work other than in the minds of left-wing leaders.
So, Than, there is discussions. I mean, we don't know the extent, but there are ongoing discussions right now. I suspect something's going to come out of it.
Yeah, I think the House Senate Conference Committee on this DHS appropriations bill is going to put something out. Jay, we don't know a dollar amount. We don't know if it'll authorize new construction. But I think last night was actually a great stride forward in making sure that at least something comes out. We'll see if it can get through both chambers.
All right, Jordan.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Rose in New York on line 3. Rose, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Rose. Quickly, please.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I believe that our president is a brilliant man, and his knowledge and his background in business is what this country needs and what he's continuing to do. His accuracy on his deliverance was amazing, amazing. What the other caller said, these people that were against, that were for the wall, what happened to their memory? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this, Rose, I'll go to Andy on this. I think here's my assessment is this. I want Andy and Jordan to comment on this. My assessment is the president put forward, I think, not only was the speech well-delivered and well-structured, but the substance of it was important. And it's his policies. It's different than what we've seen in the past.
They are his policies, and he has put them forward with great persuasiveness, in my opinion. And whoever formulated this speech for him in terms of drafting the parameters that the president delivered, they captured exactly the sense of this administration. And I think the president did indeed do a brilliant job. And as the French said, we deserve a president. Il nous faut un président, they said about Giscard d'Estaing, and we've got one.
I honestly think this speech laid out again why President Trump, it was a reminder why President Trump is President Trump. We didn't even get into the unemployment numbers being the lowest in half a century. I mean, this is, and for all different demographic groups as well. And again, we take a lot of that for granted. I think the president knew that, so he went through a lot of other issues as well. Yep. He could have spent the whole issue time on the economy because it's been so successful, but didn't do that. Understands that the American psyche, the economy's good. They want to know about the other issues, what's going on in the world, and what's going on here with domestic policy and the support for life from President Trump. Again, it's re-engaging the base.
The state of New York just passed one of the most barbaric abortion laws in U.S. history, essentially making it legal to abort a baby at any stage of pregnancy up to the moment of birth. We're looking at every possible way to challenge the New York law. You can make a tremendous difference in this fight to protect life. Add your name today to our petition to expose and defeat barbaric abortion laws. Online
aclj.org.